This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hour number two, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV, and a good day to you, sir. Balls McWednesday rolling on. Buzz still in the air, fresh off a thorough thrashing of the University of Florida in embarrassing fashion, I might add, for Florida. Goodness gracious, they were powerless. Powerless to stop anybody from scoring. Well, certainly Florida State. It was a night of ping, ping, ping. Every time you looked up, oh, it looks like that's going to be an Oppo bomb. Well, that's, there were many moments. Over and over and over again. You could have played the epic and again and again and again. It was certainly something. And I love the moment, you know, the moment that the cameras caught the incredulous, the faces on the Florida players as they recognized what was being done to them on this night. So it is 19-4, and that is a margin of victory you don't see every day. And it is, as you know, enough to run rule a bitch. And they did it again.
Twice.
Twice in the same season for a series is something to behold. Goodness gracious. Link Jarrett joined us last hour. If you missed that, go back and find it. It's on War Chant TV. It'll be in the pod later. It's, you know, all the places. This hour, Lottie Woad winning at Augusta. An amazing feat. And what a moment for Florida State and certainly for her. And it was a cool moment for me to be able to talk to her. Think about the significance of Lottie Woad winning there. Women playing there, first of all, were only a few years removed from a time that the only thing they could clean up weren't trophies, but rather the tables after the men ate. And now, there she is dominating and winning. And I say dominating, I should say winning, won by a stroke. But it's incredible to watch her down the stretch. It's incredible to see. And I'm glad that today, I don't know how much of, you didn't get a chance, you were traveling. But I've watched live from the Masters this week on the Golf Channel, of course, and a lot of questions always about players and about the situation in golf that we all know between PGA Tour and LIV and then also Augusta National in general.
I had it on in first class.
Nicely done, sir. That's a nice flex.
Yeah, I got bumped. This was not a out-of-pocket thing.
You don't have to add that. Just say, I had it on in first class, Jeff.
I'll stay true to my roots. But, I had it on in first class, and between working on the laptop, I was looking at old Rich Lerner and Brandel talking about different golfers.
Yeah, but did you also see the interview with What's-His-Face, who I loathe, head of Augusta?
There's been a few of those.
The head of Augusta National.
Fred Ridley?
I believe that was who it was, yeah.
It's not Hootie anymore.
No, who I also loathed. But Fred's a little bit more tolerable. They were asking questions.
Sir, he is a gentleman. I do not understand.
Might I interest you? I was talking about the what a boon that's been for them, by the way. It's been amazing. Like, the response to women playing there in the amateur tournament is remarkable.
I would like to play it such that on, down the stretch, the last five holes at Augusta National, one putt 14, one putt 15, should have made the putt on 16.
Right, should have birdied the last four holes. Instead, you birdied three of the last four holes.
Putt, one putt 17, one putt 8. I mean, good Lord, that's how you finish.
One putt 18 with the tournament on the line.
That's right.
Jeez, wee bit of pressure. She'll join us next segment. Back to football. I teased by mentioning that, you know, I've got a growing concern. Now, you got to take this with a grain of salt unless I tell you not to. There are some things I just come out and tell you, this is bad, has to get better, I'm concerned. I don't beat around the bush. You guys know that. There are other things where I say, you know, I'm beginning to get a little perturbed by, worried about type thing. And then there are still others that I just project. I'm just, hey, listen, you know what? Based on years of experience and doing this job and watching teams come and go, I kind of feel like they're going to have a hard time doing this. They're going to be great at that. And then here's what's the unknown. So they fall in categories, these concerns or these observations. And this is not one in which you go and press the red button and say, Cameron said today that they can't do this and we're done. First of all, anything that happens in spring, barring a season-ending injury, is something that can be improved upon, is something that can get better at, is something that they can find answers for. So unless a guy is lost for the season, knock on wood, unfortunately, that does happen. It is the game of football. Unless that happens, it's something that can be fixed or worked around. Certainly it can be acknowledged because it's being observed. So once it's acknowledged, we live in the day and age in which a coaching staff can say, you know, we really don't have an answer here. Guess what? The transfer portal exists. There are kids everywhere that could fill that role. Let's start messing with other people's rosters illegally. And you can. So we should make this a segment, Briley, Jeff's Wednesday's Worries. But they're not without merit. I don't take it lightly. I don't just willy-nilly decide. This is not a fixed position feature. This is not a sponsored segment where even on a day in which I don't have something, I've got to conjure something. This is not that. This is legitimate. The ball's on the ground too much. The ball is on the ground too much. I'm tired of it. I'm getting a little pissed off. The ball's on the ground too much. Good throws are not being caught consistently enough, period. Now, there's a lot going on in this camp, and there's newness everywhere. New offense for the starting quarterback, who himself is new. New faces on the other end of those catches, or throws, I should say, that are being asked to make those catches that have not been depended upon in the past or are from entirely different programs, also learning a new offense. So I make room for the idea that there's a lot on the minds of these young men trying to make the plays. And it does affect you. We talk about you can't play fast if you're thinking. I also think it's hard to just execute the simplest of things if you're thinking a lot. You know, like, something that comes natural to you, like catching a football or running or jumping or whatever it might be, the process gets encumbered and slowed down to a degree by thoughts of all the other stuff. Am I running the right route? Is this the right read? Is this what my cue is for this when he does this and the safety's shaded here, but I go here? Because you see it. And Mike is very animated. As a former receiver, Mike is very animated. A guy can make a play, and it might be the wrong play. He made the catch. Play looks good, and Mike's losing it because it was the wrong route. Or guy could do the right thing and not catch it, and you think he's going to be mad, and Mike's like, that's what I'm talking about. That's it. Catch the ball. But by the way, there it is. You know, so he's not as mad as you thought because it was the right read, the right response, just didn't catch the ball. So all of it is taken into account when I'm assessing things. But when we go, and I did not see the scrimmage, so I don't know. They could have caught everything that was thrown at him and, you know, probably would have changed my opinion. I don't know. But the practices we go to, the ball hits the ground too often, and I'm talking about catches that should be made. It's not like, oh, DJ missed him. It's not that kind of the ball is hitting the ground too often, because that's a different, you know, that's a different conversation. The guys are getting open, but DJ keeps missing them is an entirely different conversation.
I'm glad that's not the conversation because given his completion percentage, you worry about these things.
Yeah, you're right. So I want to make it abundantly clear. This is not the direct result of a quarterback making poor throws. This is not because the guy is not reading it right and he's late. You know, that's another concern. When quarterbacks are late, that really worries me because late often means points the other way or guys getting blown up. So This is really just more about some younger guys not consistently catching the ball, some veteran guys who are going to be asked to do more but really have never had to be the guy not catching the ball as consistently as you'd like. Just some, just too many drops, in my opinion. We'll see. I don't walk out of those practices going, oh, my God, they can't catch. But I do walk out of those practices saying, man, they left five or six big plays on the field today because they just couldn't bring the ball in. You know, at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you that I think that they'll be fine. I still believe that. I still think that they have the requisite talent in order to be good. Nobody's lacking athleticism or speed or size. They've got versatility in that segment group, like almost just like the running backs. The running backs are so versatile. You got size, like sheer mass in Cam Davis. He's a monster, right? And he's fluid. Then you've got the overall package of like two or three different guys that can really do it all, right? They can run between the tackles. They can catch the ball. They can you know, they block. They do a lot of things very, very well. So, again, just something to take note of here. I like there to be context before I hit you over the head with something that I believe finally to be a very real concern or a moment where I think that things have been elevated. I don't want it to come out of left field. I want you to know that as we go along, hey, this is what I'm observing. These are some of the things that I see and I like and don't like, so that way I don't just walk in on a Monday and go, you know what? This has been a problem all month. And then they're like, what? You haven't mentioned it yet. You haven't said one word that we can't catch the ball. Why? You could have given us a hey. Getting a little worried. Here's my hey. Let's catch the ball. Let's catch the ball. That's all. Let's catch the ball.
So it's kind of like driving down three consecutive stoplights in Tallahassee and not seeing a Zaxby's. You're like, hey, all right. I'm sure there's one at this fourth light. I'm sure there's one at this fourth light, but I'm a little concerned here. Where's my Zaxby's?
Now, it's hard to say that in Tallahassee, Florida, when there are 79 Zaxby's.
Oh, man. Good number. I bet you like that number a lot.
1979, number 79. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a great number. Great number. And that's true, too, when you're looking for a Zaxby's. Well, there are 79. Pull it up on your phone. There's sure to be one near you.
Yeah.
So.
Or just yell, Zaxby's, out the window, and somebody be like, over here.
Over here to the right. Yeah. Delicious Zaxby's, and we always appreciate their support and their food. Tallahassee Zaxby's, proud Golden Chief boosters for over 19 years. Don't overreact to my reaction. That's what you guys do. Don't do that now. I'm trying to talk calmly with you here that we're dropping too many passes.
You've got, so you're De Niro, a little bit
yourself.
Dropping the ball a little bit yourself.
A little bit. No.
You're not Pesci.
No,
you're trying
no.
to play intermediary here.
Yeah. You're a little out of line yourself. Yep. No, I am. I'm trying to say, like, yesterday was the day kind of where I was, because I jot notes all throughout when I'm out there, because I don't want to forget anything. I want to go back and look at my notes after each practice so that the next day when I do the show, I can make these points or I can, you know, it could, a lot of times it's positive. Lately, it's mostly been positive. Like, this kid's really coming along. I really love to watch Otto and the way his growth is on the offensive line. I think, obviously, sliding Armella inside was the right move. I love the potential in this secondary. Every time I look up, Earl Little Jr. looks like a guy that's going to be a stud at that NB position there. You got the, you know, you look around, you kind of just over and over, you're like, oh, that works. Oh, man, we have a number of guys that could play this role. We're going to be all right. Most of it's been positive. But when I looked back at my notes at the end of yesterday and went back to the previous week, I was like, man, there's one too many times that I'm noting they dropped too many passes. Today they dropped too many passes.
Period.
Yeah.
Not an exclamation point.
No, just a period. Too many drops.
And it also didn't turn into catch the damn ball.
Well, that will be in all caps then. And my kids have heard that and they'll hear that when I'm dead and gone. When we first started out, when I was teaching them how to catch and throw, it'd be like, you know, you allow for the fact they're little and eye-hand coordination is something to take some time, but we got to a place where if you drop two or three in a row, you were going to hear, catch the damn ball. Let's go. Lock it in. Catch the ball. There's many other things I got to teach you. Catch the ball. This is basic. So yeah, catch the ball, and then we can talk about all the other stuff. Mike's not going to come out, Briley, and say on in the press conference or the after practice roundup, you know, we're really just dropping a ton of balls. He's not going to do that. He's not going to say, he's mentioned it. And when he mentions it, then you have to know it's bothering him. The fact that he even mentioned it. Why'd it come up? Yes, he's going to say to the press, that's something we got to clean up. Well, what's he supposed to do? Jump up and down? You don't want to do a thou protest too much. You don't want to get into guys' heads and make it. But listen.
That's not his style either.
It is not his style to do that.
He's very much in second gear in post-practice press conference.
Well, he's also contemplative. He's thinking back. He also wants to go back and look at the tape because they do. At the end of every practice, they go back and look at the tape. And sometimes they find out that something they saw was an outlier and not something that was a problem throughout the practice. And if they overreact because it was on the top of their mind and say something to the press, they'll regret that. That's not, but they're thoughtful that way. So the fact that he did bring it up and has brought it up as something we need to clean up tells you he's getting a little miffed in the same way I am. Mike, I see you, buddy. Catch the ball, boys. Also, it's really disappointing when a guy gets it right and when DJ delivers it on time and it's right there, and you drop that sticks with you a little bit.
So it's happening every play.
When I first told you Johnny Wilson liked to drop the football, a lot of you got mad at me. They're like, oh, stop. Whoa, why are you so negative? I'm telling you, he likes to drop a football now. And then you saw it for yourself, and you're like, he does drop the football. But this is like that. I said he does a lot of other things really well, and as long as that percentage creeps up each time, we're going to be okay, but there's going to be the occasional, can you believe he dropped that? Mike Evans is a very effective football player.
I knew we'd make it to Mike Evans somehow.
Whose fingers? She won at Augusta as an amateur. She is a first-team All-American at Florida State, and she was on the Jeff Cameron Show yesterday when I interviewed her, and you're going to hear that next. Lottie Woad, Jeff Cameron Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, KnollRetirement.com. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Welcome back, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. And joining me, I'm really excited about this. What an opportunity here on the show to bring in the Augusta National Women's Amateur Champion, Lottie Woad. She's Florida State All-American. Many of you know her name already because of her previous successes, but now she is the amateur champion at Augusta National, and she joins us on the Jeff Cameron Show. Lottie, I know you got to be tired of doing interviews, so thank you so much for joining us and doing one more after this amazing accomplishment.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, all right, I've seen everything you've said and read everything you've said and watched the other interviews, but I do have to ask you, I thought it was fascinating right off the bat that you and your caddy talked about, because of when you teed off,
and where the pins were, that there was a real good chance somebody was going to catch you and maybe even surpass you. And so it's a good game plan, right? You're mentally prepared. But I've always thought there's a world of difference between theoretical and maybe this happens and then it does happen. And you're on the course, the back nine at Augusta, and now you're trailing and you've got to make a push and you got to make birdies. When it happened, take me through your thought process when you first realized what was happening.
Yeah, a two-shot lead is not much to start the day with. And we had talked about potentially being overtaken, but obviously I was hoping that wouldn't happen. But when it did, after I bogeyed 13 and got two back, it was definitely going to be a struggle coming in. But I knew I kind of got through the tough holes as long as I hit good tee shots on all the remaining holes. Like, they were all good birdie opportunities. So I knew if I could give myself some chances, I was rolling the ball really well on the greens, that I could make some putts.
So when people are on unbelievable runs, like Bailey went on an amazing run. And so, like, when that's happening, I find that whenever I talk to golfers, especially folks that are at your level, the elite level, they're always worried about their own game. They don't worry about what they can't control. Does that hold true here, even in this instance, when there's something so you're this close to something amazing? And does that still hold true? You're just thinking about your own game?
Yeah, definitely. You can't get too wrapped up in what someone else is doing. I obviously had all the scoreboards, so I did know exactly what she was doing, which meant I knew I had to make birdies. But I was just trying to focus on each shot individually and just trying to give myself chances was really all I could do. And I mean, I didn't expect someone to shoot 66. I was expecting someone to go low, but maybe not bogey free 66, but it made an exciting finish.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, it's a very exciting finish. I think all of us were nervous for you watching it. You never showed any signs of nerves. I was amazed at how stoic you remained. Really, the only reactions I ever saw from you, I think it was on 14 you made the putt. You seemed pretty pumped about that. And then obviously when you sink the final putt. You know, it's interesting. You're known, for people that don't know you, as a great ball striker and wildly consistent. And obviously, you got a lot of length. In watching this event, I can see how far you hit the ball. So you put yourself in really good positions. I have a sense that you're really proud of the way you putted here, though. And when you're putting well, how early do you realize, it's there today? And what does that feel like and look like to you when you know, okay, I'm rolling the flat stick?
Yeah, I was definitely very happy with my putting this week. 10 that used to, like, my long game is my best part, and generally my putting is my worst. If I putt okay, like, I'm usually doing pretty well in the golf tournament. Especially this year, like, I had a win in my first event, but like, apart from that, I've been contending every event, but just haven't quite managed to get it over the line. I had a couple of second places due to not putting great. So after the first round, a champions retreat, which are really tricky greens as well, I was putting really good and was definitely taking confidence from that. That finally I'm holding some putts, and I feel like I was talking to my FSU coach after. I was like, pretty much all the putts that I've missed this year all kind of came together this week and went in.
Yeah. So there was retribution. It evened out. Yeah. I'm kind of curious. You mentioned Champions Retreat. This is a unique event. I'll explain it for our listening audience and viewing audience. You know, you play that before you play Augusta National, and you have to, you know, make the cut, which you have before. But then it's weird. Then you have a practice round, and you got to sleep on that lead, which you've talked about. Then you got to sleep on it again, which is really weird. Nobody has to do that. I have two questions about that. First, I get the sense from your comments and some others that I've read that perhaps Champions Retreat is a more difficult course. Is that accurate?
Yes, I would say so, yeah.
What's more difficult about it? Is it the greens? Is it the Augusta National is very hilly, but I'm told Champions Retreat is too.
Yeah, I would say Champions Retreat is probably a little longer than Augusta. Have a few longer shots into the greens, and the greens tend to be, they were pretty similar this year, but last year they were a lot firmer than Augusta, and it was kind of difficult to hold the greens. But what made Champions Retreat really difficult this year was the second day. It was 31-hour winds, and the ball was moving all over the place on the greens and off the tee, and it was like I was back in England, really.
Well, I was just about to say, given where you're from, you're used to being able to play with conditions that are windy like that. Did you feel like that was a huge advantage for you?
Yeah, definitely. I was very happy when I saw the forecast. It was just like a summer's day in England. Like I know how to play knockdown shots. I've been doing that since I was young. So
yeah. So it's interesting. I'm thinking about how other people might look at that forecast and think, oh, this is not ideal. The course is hard enough as it is, and now you got to deal with winds. Whereas you're looking at it as, what an opportunity this is like back home. I am kind of curious. I do know that the combination of Champions Retreat and Augusta National means you have to have the total game. That's got to be all the more satisfying for you to know that really it tested every aspect of your game.
Yeah, they definitely require different things. Augusta tends to be a drawer's golf course off the tee, other than the 18th where you need to hit fade, but Champions Retreat kind of has a bit of both. There's a couple of really sharp left-right doglegs that I hit driver on and was cutting it around the corner. And if you didn't hit driver, you're going to be quite a long way back. So you definitely had to be able to work it both ways off the tee for both courses.
Talking with Florida State All-American Lottie Wode, and more importantly right now, the Augusta National Women's Amateur Champion. You mentioned it tends to be a drawer's golf course. I've never played it. I've been, but one day maybe, cross my fingers. I've always heard that the thing you have to be able to do there is to hit a cut off of a pull lie and vice versa and all that other stuff. Take us through for the folks that are listening that watch the event and know that it's extremely difficult. Is it that much more extreme than other places that you've won at, like Carnoustie?
Yeah, it's definitely different to how it looks on TV. When you get there, my first time last year, it was a lot tighter than I originally thought. Dog legs are a lot sharper and a lot more undulating. You're hitting a lot of raised greens. You can either be able to have a lot of spin and hit in high to stop it. And yeah, just that like 18 tee shot in particular, like you see on TV how tight it looks, and then you get there and you're like, well, this is even tighter than it looks. And you've got to just like hit it off the bunker and hope it cuts, and the ball kind of disappears. You don't even really see it land, and you just hope it's on the fairway.
It's harrowing. Listening to you describe it, it's harrowing, especially for people that don't know. You birdied three of the last four holes. You birdied the last two. Now, there have been people in the men's game, for example, Charles Schwartzel birdied the last four before winning, but he won by two. Arnold Palmer, I think, is the only guy that went birdie to win by one in 1960. I don't know if you know that. And now you've done it, which is really quite amazing. But I am curious, after you birdie to tie, and now you know you need birdie to win, I guess I think about tee shots differently than you think about tee shots. I'm thinking I would be shivering, shaking, whereas you're just trying to execute. And boy, did you ever execute on that drive. It's way down there. You're set up perfect. You had to be very proud of that moment.
Yeah, I was driving it really well a week. So I was feeling as confident as possible on that tee shot. But when I hit it, I knew it was perfect. And it went a long way down there. I only had like 125 in with that front pin with the backstop behind. So once you kind of got the tee shot out of the way, I was like, well, this is definitely a birdie opportunity now.
And so you rarely see people where you were on 18 for that putt. A lot of times you see it on the other side. So that was intentional. That wasn't just a good miss. That was where you were aiming, right?
Yeah, the wind was left to right. So I was pretty much just aiming at the pin, and if it moved a little bit to the right, it was still going to be fine. And it stayed there and landed about pin high and then stopped kind of with the backstop, and it left me a really good look.
Circling back, last couple of things. Again, I love picking the brain of a champion here. So I mentioned what a unique event it is, the two different courses and quality, you know. Was it, I know you answered this for Amanda, but I am curious about how you had to sleep on the lead, not once, but twice, 2 days. And how much fun could you actually have in between? Were you able to enjoy the festivities?
Yeah, I slept pretty good for the practice day. I was just playing the practice round, but I obviously was enjoying playing Augusta National. I think it's quite hard to not, but I was definitely very focused in that practice round. And we actually got the opportunity to play the par 3 course afterwards. Oh, cool. But I opted out of that because it was straight after my round, and I wanted to go do some putting because the greens were different, which ultimately paid off. So I was kind of just focusing on the next round, really.
how difficult is it to be in the moment each and every time? You looked like you had no nerves whatsoever. I know that can't be true, but it looked like you had no nerves as you sat over that putt on 18 with a chance to be the champion. It wasn't effortless, but it looked like you were just oozing confidence.
Yeah, I was just trying to go through the same routine that I'd done on all the other putts, and I had two for the playoffs, so that was in the back of my mind too, with that putt being very quick down the hill. But it was honestly a pretty good putt to leave. I probably couldn't leave it short, so I knew it would have a chance, and it was kind of a double breaker, like a right half putt, broke left at the start, and then came back at the end, and it was one of the easier putts probably on the green.
So it's interesting. You're not thinking necessarily, I mean, I may be phrasing this wrong, but you're not necessarily thinking about making it. You're giving yourself the best chance to make it, and you know you have two to tie, right? To force a play. So you're going to be all right. You're not thinking about, I need to make this.
Yeah. I mean, I was obviously trying to make the putt.
Yeah, sure.
But it wasn't a must make that I had to make that for the playoff. It was more just sign it on a good line, good pace, and letting the hole get in the way.
That's awesome. Final thing, Lottie, I am curious. You're winning a lot now, and you're very successful. Do we want to work on like a signature move? Is there going to be something that you do develop over? I know you laughed at Tiger Woods' fist pump and Jack's holding up of the, you know, the most we ever see from you is you maybe walk it in every now and again. We got to develop something, don't we? Or is that just not you?
Yeah, no, I don't really like doing massive fist pumps. I kind of like just staying kind of level-headed and not getting too ahead of myself. I also feel like doing a massive fist bump, I'm like, that's a little embarrassing for me. So I do like a little, like, if I'm playing well, just the ball looks like it's going in like a foot, 2 feet out. I do like a little, like, step in. That's what I was doing on a few of them. But on the 18th, I did do like a little clench. The fist pump didn't really like go above my waist, but
I saw it. I thought for you that was an outrageous show of emotion.
Yeah.
Hey, Lottie Wood, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for making time. I know Seminoles everywhere were so proud of you, and obviously everybody who loves to watch you play is celebrating the moment. So congratulations, and take care. We'll talk to you down the line.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Very quick reminder for all of you, my friends at Social Kitchen. Market, catering, steaks, goodness, all of it, it's there for you. You've got traditional food served at the Masters while watching the golf tournament. You can bring that tradition home to the house beginning this week. In fact, it's available for pickup starting tomorrow at Social Kitchen off of Cary Forest. Here it is. Chicken salad, egg salad, pimento cheese, sweet and salty kettle chips, slider rolls, chocolate chip cookies, and your choice to include a cheese charcuterie board as well. Package feeds up to 4 to 6 people. It's for the Masters. Make sure you do it. Go by, pick it up off of Cary Forest between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. or at the banquet space at the Capital City Country Club, by the way. We know all about that, our friends over there, between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. You can pick it up Thursday. You can pick it up Friday. You can even pick it up on Saturday if you're getting down for the weekend. Make sure you order 2 days prior to your selected pickup date. So get to ordering now, and they'll put it together for you. It's tasty. It's delicious. We thank them. That was fun talking to her, by the way. Lottie is humble for such a great player.
Indeed. But knows that if she can putt the ball, it's your ass. That's not what she said, no. But you could tell. She's like, well, if I start making some putts, I'm going to drive the ball. I'm going to strike the ball. You're dead.
By the way, congratulations, speaking of golf, to Luke Clanton, who becomes the first Knoll ever to win three consecutive college events. Just won this week again. So
we've had some good ones play around here. A couple of them will be, well, at least one of them.
One of them's playing at Augusta. And what do you think about Brooksy this week? I know it's a major, so apparently he has to show up. He played terrible down in Doral just a week ago, so I don't know.
He might be working on stuff for Augusta.
That's
now, we do know that.
True.
A peek behind the curtain. He damn near won in Texas 4 or 5 years ago.
While preparing for shots he has to hit at Augusta.
So I was listening to a podcast that we both very much like on the plane this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooks' data, the last five Masters that he's been in.
Don't make any sense. They're so good.
Well, it's really good in a lot of ways, but the putting isn't. But you can see outliers in the putting performance. One year was the one he couldn't walk. You know, he couldn't walk the course at all.
Yeah.
And another was there was an injury concern as well. If he putts, he's got a chance. The question is this course, and if you're trying to handicap it out there right now, I know people want your picks. The players say it's really firm.
This won't be much longer. It's going to rain on Thursday.
This is as well. How does it retain the water? That's the question. So Thursday, Friday are supposed to be gusty as hell. Like tomorrow, I can't believe it is tomorrow. Wow,
it's tomorrow, buddy. It's tomorrow.
So the storms tomorrow are going to be nasty. But apparently when the storms clear, the wind on Friday is going to be worse. So you've got wet weather and then you've got windy weather. So it's going to be British Open for the first 2 days. And then it's going to be pristine, still conditions on the weekend. It's about who survives the first 2 days so they can thrive in the last 36 holes. Brooks can do it, but there's a lot of other guys who are built for that, something like that.
Really weird weekend. It's not like you can just look at the World Golf Rankings and say, oh, well, here's my list or whatever. I don't do that anyhow, but some people do because this is an invitational. Past champions are invited back even when they're 40 years past their prime and, you know, all this stuff. So the field's different, and people want my picks. It depends on what you're doing. Are you talking about DFS? Are you talking about a one-off to win? Like, if you want a long shot to win it, and you got a chance to make a lot of money, I mean, with you just sprinkling pizza money, Shane Lowry's a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Lowry loves inclement weather. He's in good form. He's got top 20 finishes here each of the last 4 years. So his game's solid right now, and he likes the course, and he's going to get his rain and wind, and he's really good. If you're hitting into a soft green, he's really good. So you could, you know, sprinkle some pizza money on Shane Lowry for a top 20 or as a winner. I did the same with Matthew Fitzpatrick. If you're going to take guys from Ireland or England, places where they've played in the wind, we just got done talking about it with Lottie. If you're going to be dealing with poor conditions at any point, then you want somebody that can keep it low in the wind and you know, play target practice with these soft greens. You want to take a real flyer on a top 20, a guy who's a real scorer, who hits more, you know, ends up with more eagles than most in the field. The problem is he also has a lot of bogeys. But Trey Jones used to tell me all the time, you know, when you're placing long shot bets, look at guys that birdie and eagle a lot of holes, because all it takes for them is to get right for one weekend with the putter. Usually that's what holds shot makers back, is that they hit it further than most people, they get their opportunities, they just don't make putts, and so they fall back and they lose strokes to the field. But guys that birdie and eagle a lot of holes, on a given Saturday or Sunday, if they make a few putts and they just don't lose strokes to the field, they could win. Well, Taylor Moore can do that. And I know that you wouldn't take Taylor Moore, most people wouldn't, but
they wouldn't take Steven Yeager either.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had Bhatia as my third pick last week in my draft, and he won. Now, I did not bet him to win the tournament in the picks I gave out. So I had Corey Connors to maybe sprinkle a little in there. By the way, I like Corey Connors' top 20 here as top Canadian. Now, I did do that, so you guys understand. You can have a lot of fun with this. You can bet, okay, you want to know? Here you go.
Yeah.
All right. Top South Korean. I took Siwoo Kim.
Okay.
Siwoo likes the course. He's played well here in the past. I'm going to take him. Head-to-head, I took Sergio to beat Patrick Reed. I took Corey Connors as the top Canadian. I took Thorsbjørn Olsen to be the top Scandinavian. I took...
you're the United Nations over here.
I do this every week. I'll take top Asian. I'll take top Korean. I'll take top Canadian, top American, top... Yeah, they have it for every category. Gambling's awesome, guys. Now, I'm not saying you should do it. If you can't do it, don't do it. And if you don't have the money, definitely don't do it. But if you can and you want to have a little fun, pizza money's good. They got a lot of cool things here.
So here's a question mark player. And you love him. He's
I like Zalatoris this week to play
skinny
well.
Skinny as a beanpole.
Zalatoris will play well.
He has, of the top 5 years, the second best putting data. Will Zalatoris does. Second best putting data at Augusta. Now, the difference is, here's the X factor. He's now gone to the full length under the chin putter. So what do you make of it? Do you just throw out all that good? You know he's going to strike the ball well.
He is.
Do you throw out the putting data? Or do you believe that even though he's switched, he could still roll it well enough?
I like Zalatoris this week as a top 20 pick.
Okay. You probably get a good number on that.
You can.
One of the better numbers you're ever going to get for Will Zalatoris in a top 20.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Top 20 bets, top 10 bets, top 5 bets. Sprinkle it out, spread it out, have some fun with it. Go with your hunches,
things. I made a lot of money on Brooks last year because I knew, look, man, he's Mr. Major here at Augusta. And I played him 20-10-5 win.
There it is. That's how I made all my money on Jaeger. I did that top 20-10-5 win.
You're never going to get better odds on Brooks again, I didn't think. Unless he falls off, at which point it's a moot bet. But that's what you're betting here. Is his career over or is he still in the running? There are dudes like that. Cam Smith is a player you could look at. Cam Smith, one of the better players at Augusta before he decided to go live.
Man, he hasn't done a thing at live. Attention, Florida. Are you a victim of an auto accident? We introduce our live chat sponsor, Heisen Legal Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Legal Law Firm at 813-803-0733 for a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Legal Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 or visit HeisenLegalLawFirm.com. Heisen Legal Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa.
Nice read.
Oh, we're still here. We're going all the way.
I see what you were doing there.
I was trying to get us to... I was helping you out. But if you want, we'll stay right here.
We can keep it here.
You keep it right here. That's not saying about me. My friends at Tried and True Consulting. It's a payment and business solutions company owned by fellow Knowles. As a Knowles business owner, they're committed to reducing costs and increasing your bottom line. That's a good thing to tell you about. They give back 10% of their net revenue at Tried and True Consulting to the battle's end. How about that? Get the trifecta today. Scan the QR code that you see that we pop up in between breaks all the time. There it is right in front of you. You're in the chat. Learn about them or call Joe or Don today. 844-464-6653. Go Tried and True Consulting. Whew. It's been a busy day. It's been a fun day. It's good to have you back. Fresh on the heels of Knowles kicking ass. We got the Canes coming into town. Hopefully whoop their ass too. We got football. We got it all.
There's so much information going on right now. You know, Major League Baseball crunching what happens on a day-to-day basis. That's a grind because, you know, Florida State Baseball takes precedent last night over Mets Atlanta. The Braves do win 6-5. But then also in hockey, that second wild card battle in the East is awesome. There's 3-4 games left. If you want playoff atmospheres before the playoffs begin, go check out what's happening in Pittsburgh and Washington on Long Island. It's a lot of good stuff going on right now, and it's too much information almost.
Lightning with the 5-2 win last night, the hat trick from Stamkos. We've already locked in a playoff spot, ready to roll, buddy. I'm feeling good, feeling pretty good with the way they're playing right
now.
Yeah, they are starting to play okay. It's starting to happen. It's exciting. It's fun to talk about. Yeah, no, there's a lot. There's a lot, and we're not far away from the spring game. And, of course, we have our tournament on Friday. We'll be back with you, normal show, tomorrow. And, Tom, I know, look, we had a lot to catch up on. I mentioned today that we did catch up on seminal headlines.
We didn't talk about the legal thing either. You brushed past it, and it's because it's not – it's like for 10 minutes it matters. But, yeah, it's just crazy.
I do know, and we've talked to enough attorneys. I just – if you want a big – I'm not – an attorney, and I don't want to express an opinion as if it's rooted in like a depth of legal knowledge. It's not. I do have access to attorneys and friends with several, including my agent and my stepdad, and then people that we use, Tom Kowitz and others, there are a lot of guys that I talk to try to get a handle on what any of these things mean. And I always say, look, stay out of the weeds with me here. I understand that you could vet this and go much deeper and talk about nuance. But in terms of the context that I'm trying to lend my audience, what's something that we can take away? And we'll have Tom Quitz back on the show, I think, early next week and get his thoughts on everything. But I will tell you, this just feels like we're about to see this grind to a halt. There's just going to be a lot of slow play.
Well, this is the interesting thing is, on the one hand, you've got appeals processes
which
are potentially coming.
Yeah, muck up the works.
They do. But on the other hand, you had the judge yesterday here in Leon County, Judge
almost
Cooper.
Almost scold the ACC, by the way.
At different times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used some fun language with that. I can't remember it. I did the video with Ira, but I can't remember it. Point being, he decided to deny their motion to stay. So he's saying, let's proceed in Florida. So on the one hand, you've got appeals coming, but on the other, two states perhaps concurrently running a case, which at that point does become a bit of a foot race as to which ruling would stick and a bit of a rivalry between the two courts, even if that's not what they intend to do. So there are competing forces here, just a lot of competing forces, more than just Florida State and the ACC, and we'll see. Hopefully this gets to the negotiating table here anytime now.
I think it's all trending eventually in a good way for Florida State. I don't know how we couldn't see that, but
how about the ACC yesterday, you know, saying that they would shop our rights and sell it to somebody else themselves? That was one of the more interesting developments in the courtroom was, well, okay, so let's say Florida State pays $130 million for the exit fee. Uh-huh. Okay, now they can negotiate their rights? Well, yes, Your Honor, or, you know, we could just sell them to another network or another entity that would be very interested in Florida State's rights.
Yeah.
Nice way to start bargaining by offering, creating a third party that we've got to bid against. Nice job, ACC.
I just thought that some of the comments that the judge made, A, were humorous, and I mean that in a good way, and B, it felt like he was kind of like tisking at times, the ACC is what I'm saying. And, you know, there was that sort of kind of preventive litigation, like this idea of trying to beat somebody to the punch instead of operating on the up and up.
Forum shopping was the term that he used a bunch. But, yeah, he called it classic anticipatory legislation. That's what it is.
Anticipatory legislation. That was the actual one.
Litigation, excuse me. Classic anticipatory litigation is what he said it was. And he cited about 9 cases. I think 3 would have done, Your Honor. But he cited about 9 cases to both attorneys saying that, hey, man, we've got federal courts and state courts that say, no, just because you're first doesn't necessarily mean that you're the forum, because that sometimes there's malice involved with rushing to the courtroom.
I do want to, in capping off all that we did today, remind everybody that that statement from Link Jarrett was pretty amazing. I think this is the best atmosphere I've ever coached in or played in my career. And then you couple that with the shots of the folks in the outfield climbing the fence and leaning up against the fence out in right field and left field. That was insane. I don't really remember too many moments like that ever, if ever. So I think he's right. That was a fun conversation to have with him today as well. All right, brother. We are out of here. Good work out of you. Good to have you back in studio. Thanks to all of you guys for watching and listening. We appreciate it. We're back with you again tomorrow. Take care. Have a great rest of your day. Peace.